Would you turn with me to read again in Scripture, in the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel, reading the last couple of verses of chapter 6, beginning the story into chapter 7. First Samuel, reading from chapter 6 and verse 20. This follows the struggles that Israel had had against the Philistines, and the Philistines had captured the ark, which had been improperly taken into the scene of battle, but then the ark had been returned to Israel. And so we take up the story at chapter 6 and verse 20. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you." Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So far in this God's Word, with thankfulness and seeking his blessing upon it. And I would turn here for a short time this evening, and in particular verse 12, where Samuel took a stone and set it up, called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. In our last service together for 2012, it's a time of the year when many people will look back. Many will look forward, and perhaps you do that yourselves at the moment, however briefly that might be, before you then just have to get on with things again. I'm reminded of when you take a flight and you land somewhere, and the one that struck me one day not so long ago was I landed in Edinburgh, and it was announced the local time is, having just flown from London. So I'm not sure what they thought we were doing during that flight, but usually the rigmarole that they go through finishes on this note, and we wish you a pleasant and safe onward journey. It's not surprising, but it is very interesting that the assumption is you're not going to stop right there for the rest of your life. You do have somewhere else better to go to. There is an onward journey. And isn't life like that? We might well look back. There's a lot to be said for looking back, but we most certainly need to look forward. And I think that's something that we have in what Samuel did in verse 12. Samuel set up a stone and named it Ebenezer, meaning the stone of help. And his reason was because thus far the Lord has helped us. He was looking back. But he was looking back in a way that meant it was necessary to set up this stone, this marker, this reminder of what had come about. You see, I think if you were only looking backwards, it would almost be enough simply to say something. Thus far has the Lord helped us. But a stone is a remembrance. The stone was there because they expected to go on and then in those further days to be reminded of God's help. Joshua, when he led the people across the River Jordan, when the river split and they walked across on dry land, he said, one man from each of the 12 tribes needs to pick up a stone and bring it through, and we will set up a column of stones. And then he goes on and he explains, it will be a memorial forever, in Joshua chapter 4. And then he comes back to it a little later in that same chapter, and he says, I'm expecting that that will be visible to further generations, and your descendants, your children and their descendants, will be expected to ask, what's this about? Perhaps you will go to some of the towns and the cities in Britain, and you go through the center of the town, and there's something made of granite sitting there in the middle, very often quite square and chunky, and there's names inscribed on it. And for the first time you see it, perhaps as a youngster, you might say, what's that? And you're encouraged then to say, well, this is a memorial to those who have given their lives for this nation. Things that have happened in the past. That stone standing in front of you to remind you of that, to get you thinking about your own day and the days that are ahead. That was to be, in Joshua's day, a memorial forever. Very much looking ahead, looking forward, not just looking back to what God had done. And in particular, in that case, in Joshua's case, it was to keep the fear of God before their descendants. Is not this much the same? Directing their attention, Samuel knew that this was God's answer to his prayer for the people. And he was setting the Lord's work for the people right in front of them with this stone, with its name. The Lord is our helper. Things that have been done, have been accomplished. There is a record of them, a record here of what the Lord has done. And when you see it, to reflect on what the Lord has done, to reflect on his care, his provision, his salvation. Very much the case in that setting. And any time that we reflect on it and think on it ourselves, to remember his saving work. There in times to come, putting that message in front of each of us again and again. To look forward, the Lord has been your helper. What next? When you come to Tuesday next week, or this coming week rather, New Year's Day, if we see it, God willing, in many respects it will be a day just like any other. It will be that slight minute or two longer than the day before, but it's much like any other. You have a holiday perhaps, and you're able to do other things, but generally speaking, the day will be something very similar. But a date like this can serve a moment to reflect back and to anticipate and to look forward. A time for us as a congregation to look back and to think on the year past and God's great help towards us. If you look back in your life, what do you see? Do you recognize that the Lord has helped us, has helped you? Do you recognize his blessings towards you? And I encourage you to see them, to take time, recognize them for what they are. A wonderful greeting, I think, is to say, may you know the Lord's blessings upon you. Not simply praying that God will bless, that is something wonderful as well, but that you will know God's blessings, because God is only a blessing God. Nothing but good comes from him. It's for us to recognize them, to see them. Yes, when I say that God is a blessing God, he does curse sin and the sinner who holds on to their sins. But he will bless. He will bless even the sinner by lifting you out of your sin if you come to him in true faith. He has no wish to lead you in your sins. And the curse is also to drive you from them. But God is a blessing God. God shows his grace to all men. We must recognize that. He gives all men, each of us, and everyone, far more than any of us deserve. Not one of us deserves another day on this earth. But he gives it. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul speaks of the riches of his goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance. And he's writing to people, he says, who despise those riches, not knowing that the goodness of God leads them, you, us, me, to repentance. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The context around what he says there, what Jesus says, is the response to just that. That abundant blessing that is poured out on all men, the sun today and the rain today, is given to all. But the question is, how will you respond to those things? It's a widespread blessing. How do you respond? Do you recognize God's hand in these things? How you respond demonstrates whether you are indeed a child of God. Now I know that in this past year some have faced very, very tough things, even amongst us, some very hard things. But even so, I must say, and it sounds quite blunt, but I must say things could have been far worse, because God is gracious. God restrains evil. And there is much that is good. I often think of this infamous motorway that circles us, the M25. And I wonder if it's perhaps the bad days that really stick in your head. But most of you who do need to use it, even just to get to church, four times on a Sunday, 52 weeks of the year virtually. Generally speaking, it's gone pretty well. There have been good days. It's often the bad things we remember that stick in our minds. Let's be like Samuel and Israel, who remembered the Lord's help. In the light of what I said this morning, to remember how evil is restrained. Yes, it is. There is a battle, but how we've been helped in it and through it. But it is not worse, as it was for Israel. They faced this opposition, and see what happened in the previous verse? At last, after many years, they drove the Philistines back as they relied upon the Lord. Let's not presume on the good things that God gives us too often. And that's why the Ebenezers are crucial. That they are there as though you turn the corner and there it is in front of you to say, yeah, God has helped us. I've been forgetting. God has helped us. We must recall, we must reflect. And this is a good time to do it. But even more than that, we have so much more than Israel did. Every day. And that's why it's not just Christmas, it's not just New Year's Day, it's not just Easter, which is important for you and for me. It is the day of the resurrection that we must commemorate. This is our Ebenezer that sets in front of us again the greatest of good works of the Lord to us. His true help, His enduring help, His everlasting help in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus. We must remember that every Lord's Day, it is His day. It's there in the calendar. For each day that you've had, Christ died for that life. And He died so that you could have fullness of life in each day. If you do not yet believe, God gives you great and many things out of His grace. And that's because He chose to send His salvation amongst men. That's because there is an order to history centered around His Son coming to give life. We've spoken about Ebenezer as a stone. This morning our call to worship was from Psalm 118. The Lord made him the chief cornerstone. It's a marvelous work. The Lord has done it. It's marvelous in our eyes. We are to look to Him as our foundation, build ourselves on Him, look to Him, look to remember what the Lord has done. It's this that's to set the tone for tomorrow and beyond each day. Yes, it is good to remember Ebenezer. It's an evocative kind of name. And if you need help to remember it, just now and again, stop in Cobham, go up Cedar Road a little, and there's an old chapel. It's been converted into a kitchen sale room now, but across the door is Ebenezer Baptist Chapel. It's good for us. It's right here in Cobham. And a reminder of how the Lord has helped us. It's been a significant year. Next year, no doubt, will be significant in its own way. But we pray that the Lord will remind us constantly of His great help for us, His great grace towards us, the sheer love of God. And I present that to you again this evening. Yes, those things happened many, many years ago. But let us also seek to acknowledge and to place those marks in our lives to keep reminding us that the Lord has helped us. It is thus far. Let's trust and put our dependence upon Him for what is yet to come. I had a colleague in South Africa, and he would tell of one of the church elders who used to work in a petrol station. And out there, you would have pump attendants. You wouldn't get out of the car. You give them a tip, and they would fill up with fuel. Now, this elder in the church would, that was his job. And every time my friend would, he'd gone by the time I got there. But every time my friend would greet him, he would say, "And how are you?" And he would say, "Mfundis, I'm fine so far." We are fine. We've been helped thus far. But let's put our trust afresh in the Lord. The only help that we have, the great help that we have for what is yet to come. That just so far this evening. I'm praying God's help as we go on. Let us indeed turn to sing together, making a response by taking Psalm 85, Psalm 85, which tells of the Lord's help. It's a psalm that, in the context of Israel, as also we can use it ourselves. He is recognizing the trespass, the sin of the people. Our own sin is our greatest enemy. But the Lord shows favor and forgives and relieves. We pray then for continued mercy, but also, as the psalm goes further, that we would not fall back. We would keep ourselves in his peace and truth and righteousness. We don't often do it, but let's this evening sing the whole psalm, Psalm 85.
In times past, Lord, you showed favor to your loving covenant. The cross bearing till your Jacob, you restored by your strong hand. You forgave
Thanksgiving, also of requests and intercession. Let us pray together. And so, as our help, we turn to you, O gracious Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that help that you have provided to release us from sin. We return our thanks for your salvation in Him. Salvation that is beyond every thought of man. Your thoughts of good and not of evil. Giving thanks for your forgiveness and cleansing from sin, as Christ has given himself in our place, bearing our death upon him, that curse of sin. We also return thanks, O Lord, for the daily provisions and grace through the year past of which we've spoken. We thank you that you call us to speak thanks, that we should not be forgetful or presumptuous. We fear that many receive without giving thanks. We pray that you would change such hearts. Ours too, if that is where we are in our condition before you. We would also, O Lord, as you provide for us, very often through our daily occupations, we return thanks for our strength and our skills, for our opportunities. And in the midst of these, and as we would even anticipate these to continue, keep us faithful, O Lord, to glorify you by them with thankful hearts. As you have blessed us, we would seek, O Lord, your continued blessing. As we enter a new year soon, we pray that as you have given, so give us our daily bread. This is our concern for every true need of life, that you would grant health in body and in mind, protect, provide, uphold, work your providence in great grace. In every need, and especially through our daily lives, that you would keep us in spirit, that we would attend to the things that are of true value. As a congregation, we would commend to you the endeavors that are before us, new arrangements for Bible study and prayer opportunities, that this would be valued and treasured, and we will seek out to be built up in faith, to live out lives unto your praise. As we seek your grace to be at work through us, we pray that we might show Christian character, those things that are of good report, those things that are the fruit of your Spirit within us, that we will be gracious to all, that we will humble ourselves before you, that we may indeed receive grace and help in all our need. And as we receive freely, also to give freely, to know love towards others through the love of our Lord Jesus towards us. that we may love because you have first loved us. A love that is not simply of sentiment, but of practice and expense. Be at work in us too, Lord, that we would go on daily in assurance of your presence, and that presence to enable us, to strengthen us, to testify of Christ Jesus, that our living hope is found in him and may also be found by others. We pray for the needs of others, as Christ does for us. We pray for those who are especially dear to us, our wider families particularly, and perhaps even some here. We commend to you their physical needs, but especially spiritual, that they might enter into life eternal, as they receive from you daily in physical, in the benefits their minds need also, that they will be inclined to look, to search out and to discover where all good things come from. We pray for our communities. This time of year we give thanks for the full churches in the past week, and perhaps even where there might be special services in this coming week, where folk come together quite unusually for their usual life, as they're usually absent. We pray that there may be some hearing, that ears would be opened and minds and hearts not to be hardened against the truth of Christ, the truth of your continued grace. But we remember too, O Lord, where there is difficulty and hardship, perhaps in our own lives, we commend these matters to you and pray that you would grant your upholding grace. We long, O Lord, for solutions and breakthroughs in difficult situations, and we pray that you will indeed provide, but grant us that strength of patience and endurance as you do that work. We pray that where there are those about who do have difficulty, again, we continue to remember those who have been affected by the recent flooding in the UK, and remember too, this time of winter, those who are homeless. Pray for those who may be lonely or finding other troubles in their souls. Where there is sickness, disability in body, pray for the elderly who struggle. Pray for those who may be abused. Ask, Lord, that you would grant those who would be near to them, and perhaps even ourselves needing to see and to contribute, those who might be able to help and to provide. So too, further afield and around this world, where there are troubles between men, troubles of nature, where there is hardship faced, again, we seek your provision, your sending of those who are able to help. Where there is plenty, O Lord, work in hearts that there would be that giving out as you have given to them, to us. We pray too for your church in this world, where there may be suffering or discouragement. We would remember the man who has been brought to our attention in recent weeks, Pastor Jay in Kurdistan, and others around him. Pray for his family and their suffering. Pray for those who may be struggling as groups of your people. Ask that you, O Lord, would hold up their hands of weariness. Open the path before them. And though it may not appear to change even to the eye of the body, yet through an insight of yourself, knowledge of your great victory that is to be revealed at the last, may this be their strength, our strength also. maybe the strength of those churches where there seems to be prosperity, not to rely on riches except those of the gospel. I pray that there would be a humble walk and thankfulness, only to eagerly proclaim the gospel that is our hope, that it would also be found by the needy world around us. So we do pray too for those who have gone out into different places, and particularly in that response to your call upon them. We commend them to you as they may bear a particular burden at this time of year, absent from their families. We ask that you would be their near presence, that Christ would indeed be their near brother, and the one that they can rejoice in, that there will be those around them who will also uphold them. We ask for our own country and the general circumstance of life here. We again commend our Queen to you, and we give thanks for her speech, her witness and call last Tuesday. We pray for the government, asking that they would seek to know God and truth and right. And in all things, may your honor be restored and prosper. And so, O God of hope, God of mercy, of peace, of comfort, we pray that you would draw near to us and all who are in need, who cry perhaps with an unknown anguish of spirit. Hold near and true, and be at work that your honor and praise would rise in and through us, asking all for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only in his name. Amen.